Okay, Heshi,
Yes.
we have connected. Fantastic. It's great to connect with you and appreciate the phone call. Welcome to Discussions of Truth. I am Ian Hamilton Trottier. Heshi, take a moment, if you will, for listeners to introduce yourself and let listeners know exactly who you are and what you're doing.
Well, Ian, thank you for inviting me to your show. My name is Heshi Tishla. As you know, I'm a candidate for the city council seat of District 48, which is one of 51 members of the city council. I am a community activist for over 35 years. A lot of people in my community call me Uncle Heshi, of the many different kids that we've taken in, the foster kids of the 21 of them, different programs that I've run over the years, taking people out of jail, feeding people programs. Basically, I'm somebody that has worked for the community, not only for the Jewish community, but for all different communities in New York City, the five boroughs, as well as I fight for my city, I fight for my neighbors, and I fight for my country, and I will never allow my fellow neighbors to be bullied around. Basically, I'm a bully fighter. That's what you want to know, just
Love
trying to
it.
help other people.
Yeah, I love it. That's great. That's what America needs right now, is a bully fighter to take down these tyrants, because our government's becoming so tyrannical and having their way with us. And thank goodness there's people like you that stand up and fight for these rights. Heshi, I like your accent. Are you in New York City? You're running for city council in New York City. Does that encompass all five boroughs, or is there a particular borough?
First of all, yeah, I'm a Brooklyn boy, born and bred, so that accent you hear is a Brooklyn accent. I've been trying to be more aristocratic since I'm running for city council, but it's not working, my son. I'm a Brooklyn boy from the street, so get it through everybody's head. And I want you to know, very important, I will be representing my city. I will be representing all five boroughs. And, when I started my movement last year in June, cutting the locks and fighting the mayor, even though they threatened to arrest me, and he did arrest me, by the way, Ian. I wasn't scared, So I am here. I've always defended my people, my neighbors, my town, my community. I even go to jail every 2 weeks because we have people that have issues, and young children. I volunteered in the hospital for 35 years to brag. But I'm here for my people, just same way they're here for me. And when I started this, I see so many others that came to join me, and that's why we were able to beat the mayor. That's why we were able to open this great city. I'm opening to push hate with his poisonous mouth and to make people hate one another. But I am here to help my people, to help our city. In my house, I took in a Muslim girl, a black kid, a Spanish kid. It doesn't make a difference who you are. My job is to help other people so you can help me. And I'm going to tell you why. My father was a Holocaust survivor, and he told me, when he came to this country, we had enough hate. You will fight. And my father passed away a month after my bar mitzvah when I was 13. And since then, I've been taking care of my family, special needs kids. I know what it is to love somebody else because I get loved. Lately, since I'm running for politics, Ian, a lot of people don't love me. I'm unhappy about that.
Heshi,
Hello?
this is a strong this is something this is a strong statement that you made. It reflects a experience of yours, unfortunately. And it seems like you're talking about de Blasio, and I don't think that's even his real name. And for listeners to understand, de Blasio, from my understanding, Heshi even honeymooned in Cuba. So the man seems to have interest in socialism, or at least in a country that has adopted a socialist governance. Maybe he was just in Varadero and wanted to go to the beach. I don't know. But he arrested you? Under what grounds were you arrested, Heshi?
So, well, Ian, a lot of you guys are coming up with excuses why he's so vicious and mean. I have a plain, simple answer to that. The man is an idiot. The man really is a moron. His old name was William Wilhelm. he's really a bad man who doesn't know what is. He never ran a business. He has 337,000 government employees. He's never ran a business. He shut all of the city down, all the jobs down. He let them continue working. The man is no good, plain and simple, and there's nothing more. The reason why he arrested me was I work with the police. You know, sometimes a young boy is arrested. People come home from jail. They need a place to stay. I work with the police officers. Sometimes they get in trouble. They call me. She come down here, you know, a couple of months ago, there was a lady whose husband was dying. They arrested her because she wouldn't leave the hospital. And again, I went there and I threatened them. I didn't threaten them, but I know how to talk to the police. And I work with them on many different issues. And they released her to us. And her husband passed away that night. So I don't like when people are mistreated. And that's what I do from 4:30 in the morning when I get up till midnight at night. My phone is working. What happened was is, on October the 6th or 7th, during the Sukkot holiday, they came into our town after I opened up 19 parks and made embarrassed our community. And then the kids just started standing behind me. People were protesting with me. We were fighting back. My movement started to grow. And then the boys got one night during the Jewish holiday, some guy made a protest. And I didn't go. I went for a few minutes. I passed by and I left. I had to go to another event and I went home to bed because I get up 4:30 in the morning to go to the hospital at 6. That is my day. I love going there. That is my 3 hours a day of enjoyment, of helping, of doing some good. Not much. You know, I only serve milk and bread and packages and you know, just a little worker there. And what happened was is that night, the boys, the kids, started to get crazy on the avenue. A few thousand showed up, started burning masks, holding buses back. The police showed up and they couldn't beat up little kids and even teenagers and some adults. So they called me at 1 o'clock in the morning. And the deputy inspector says, Heshi, get over here. I said, what do you want from me? I'm nobody. You get over here. So that's what I did. I picked up. Can you hear me, Ian?
Yes, I hear you.
I picked myself up. My wife wasn't too happy because, you know, a lot of the hours we don't spend much time together. And I got dressed. I ran over to the avenue and I started calming everybody down, sending everybody home. And the police themselves, on their microphone, they put me on there. It's on video. And somebody was beating up some reporter who always ratted on the community, took pictures, shutting down our wedding halls. And I keep our wedding halls open. I follow the sheriffs. I fight with them. I scream at them on the law. I know it real well. And so this guy was beaten up and they called me there and I calmed the crowd down. The police made a deal with the community leaders that if everybody goes home, I get everybody home, they will allow the kids to come back the next day to celebrate the Jewish holiday and dance and sing on the street with music for 2 hours. I said, okay, I got the microphone. I told everybody to do it and that's what was done. The next day they moved it to a smaller location. They called me. I said, again, I'm not in charge, but I will try to let the word out. And people came and it was a quiet, nice, not a protest, but an event for the community. Even though they kept canceling our street events while everybody had open street events, we were the only community that the mayor, whatever, I don't like him, I don't even consider him my mayor, and his Jewish liaison would not allow us. What happened was, they tried to, there was a, I had 30 police officers stationed around our place, beautifully done. Any trouble, there was one little bit of trouble, they grabbed somebody, took him away. One of the reporters who claims he was a reporter, the guy who started the first protest, his brother-in-law, came to the event and he woke me up in the middle of the night, started screaming at me, blaming me. So as you know, Ian, you and me are neighbors. If you start, your dog barks or you start, you know, middle of the night waking me up, you know, I would come and scream at you, hey, Ian, what'd you do? Stop it. Why'd you do it? This guy was a bad man as well and started calling the mayor on national television, sending people to different synagogues. So when people were screaming at him on the street, they called me over. They asked him, why'd you come here? You're a bad guy. And I told everybody not to touch him. The police shot him 2 minutes later because the crowd, you know, came around whenever there was something, and they grabbed him and took him away. He claimed that he was hit. The next day on CNN, he denied it. He said he wasn't hit. He claimed he felt threatened and entrapped, and there was a riot. Nobody was arrested. Nobody was ticketed. No stores were burned. Nothing happened. Everything went away. The mayor was upset because this guy called and complained. The mayor went on national television and quoted a Twitter account that wasn't even mine. So I want you to see how stupid your mayor and governor is. They don't even do research like I do. And what happened was is they taunted me, and of course, I'm from the streets. I taunt back. I'm not scared of nobody. You know, I was stabbed. I'm not trying to brag to you yet, but this is my city. I've been here for 57 years. I've raised a family. I have 106 nephews and nieces, 21 foster kids. I've gone through the streets. I have my own children and grandchildren. This is my town, our town. So nobody's going to scare me off. I don't care if he's a mayor. So he threatened to arrest me. I said, come get me. And the police called me 2 days later. Well, this guy made a complaint. Come in and turn yourself in. And I said, okay. What happened was, is in the community found out about it. They were going to walk me to the station. The mayor, in the middle of the night, sent, not because my police officers wouldn't have arrested me. He sent from the Bronx, a different borough, 2 warrant officers, 4 detectives, 7 police cars. Like I tell people, Al Chapo didn't have so many people arrest him. Chained me, chained my legs, dragged me in, left me in a car for 4 hours, not even booked me properly, lost my fingerprints, and made sure I suffered in jail. And they got me a couple of minutes that I have to make a deal on to make it go away because I'm busy running for election. And that's what happened. And the mayor got me well. And he showed us what his power is.
So, Heshy, first off, have you ever been to Totone's on Coney Island? You ever eaten at Totone's?
I only eat kosher, but I've been to Coney Island for 50 years. I've been going there. I know every inch of that place. I wish I could eat at half of those places. But no, I do know what you're talking about. But I've eaten every other restaurant, but not that one.
What about the work of, I think she's, I don't think she's in Brooklyn. She might be the Bronx. Her name's Tina 40. You follow her?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's see. Heshy, so the mayor's arrested you, but let's clarify this. You're somebody of – some people follow you, and a lot of people follow you. And so the cops called you, made that call to you, if I heard that right, at 1 a.m. in the morning. Why is it – that you're a man to be reckoned with? What is it that you do, and why did the police call you?
Well, because, you know, in my community, when you're in trouble, I'm pretty much behind the scenes all these years.
Yeah.
You know, when a kid, we have a youth center, a kid is in trouble on drugs. So I've been doing it for 30 years. When a kid gets thrown out of the house or you're on Ocean Parkway, they say, go to Heshy. I'll take them in. Me and Linda, my wife of 31 years, we've taken in so many kids. We go visit the jails every 2 weeks. When some of the guys come home, we have a few little small apartments in our house. We house them or bring them in. Our children always find somebody that is in trouble, and we're good. We have a good reputation. We always have food in the refrigerator. People come and go, so people know when they're in trouble with their buildings or their homes or a death in the family. For some reason, after my father died, I raised my mother and a widow, a single mom, or 2 brothers, and a Down syndrome assistant who still lives with me and prays for me every day. She has her own apartment, does well. I learned how to help people, and my business. In the business, somehow people get in trouble with buildings or homes or funerals or stuff like that. And I figure out ways. I don't know how. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Great Escape. Do you ever see that movie? It's an old-time movie, one of the old ones.
That Patrick Swayze, so who is that?
Not Patrick Swayze. He just goes back to, this is McLean. Yeah, what's your, McKean, I forgot his name again.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Interview with you, you know. A big time, old time actors, and it was a great movie. And one of them was called The Scrounger. He was able to find anything in a concert, in a prison of war camp, and help people do stuff. That's what I do. I don't consider myself a scrounger. I consider myself that I can solve problems or meet the right people or connect you to the right people. And I help people, whether you're rich or poor. The city even hired me to be a receiver. And I even fight my directors because I tell them you're wrong, how you treat the quality of people, how you treat landlords. I'm a guy that is always behind the scenes and making sure the politicians do their job. This particular time when they closed out parks in the city, and I see he only closed the Jewish parks, I argued with him. They wouldn't answer my calls. They laughed at me. Kids were running in the street, getting hit by cars. I just couldn't take it anymore. After 4 months of locking down my neighborhood, I told everybody to stop. I took my bolt cutters. I opened the parks. They came threatening me, police. I came fighting back. My community saw, even my police officers saw I was right. And the word spread. I kept going to other communities. They even welded park door shut, so we shouldn't go in. I'm 400 pounds. Well, I'm 300, but I tell everybody I'm 400. And we busted open those locks. We busted open those gates. You do not hurt my people, my children. My people, I just don't like it. It bothers me. My father cried at night when he came home from the hate, from the anti-Semitism. I grew up with anti-Semitism for the Jews. You think I like when we have Asian hate? You think when I like when we... with the black people and the white people fight, or black and black crime, white and white crime, unacceptable. I'm not asking you to share your wealth. I'm not asking you to give people what you have, but give a little kindness. Buy somebody a bread or a milk. Do good, and we can make other people's quality of life better. What happened was I came to the forefront. I showed my face, and the mayor didn't like that somebody stood up to him. The Jewish liaison didn't like it that the community was following me. Usually they come to me with trouble. And the mayor wanted to pick an example. I was the best big example he can pick. And I fought back. And he used some little schnook to make the complaint, who was a zero. And I had to deal. At the end, like I tell everybody, when I stand before the Holy Maker, I'm going to answer. Did I go to jail? Big deal. I put 60,000 kids back in school, 20,000 kids back in the parks, have all my stores, synagogues open, shuls open, wedding halls open. I am open. We've never been closed. Not one of our places have been robbed, burnt, nothing. My community has been protected with our own community supervision, you know, our own community volunteers. I'm not bragging to you, but so many other neighborhoods joined us. So many other cities. I've seen videos, people sending me from other towns fighting back. You know, this is what I'm proud of, my great city. I'm proud of my great country. And I will continue, because I'm an American, I'm a Jew, and I'm so happy that God gave me the opportunity to stand up once and for all and say, look, here is my opportunity. I'm going to take it. And I took it. And I hope I get elected to city council, because I'm going to put them in their place too, Ian. I'm not going to let this go on anymore. No more progressive lefts. I'm not going to let them let rapists, murderers out of jail just like that. I'm not going to let them close down schools and take away money from private tuitions. I'm not going to let them open up 90 homeless shelters and waste billions of dollars. I have a plan on how to fix that into making them into adult centers. I've done this for years, and you're going to say to me, Heshi, how can you do it? Because this is what I do for a living, helping people make senior centers legal, helping people to make their homes legal, helping kids get into drug rehab centers, helping postpartum depression for women, I helping people with budgets. I have a 35-year history of doing it, and now I'm going to do it on a grander scale, Ian. I hope next year when you call me at this time, I'm going to say to you, look, Ian, I did my job. I do it with passion. I do it with love, and I don't need any government funds or matching funds. I'm going to do it because the people need it done. And now my phone is open 24/7. I will be open then. I know you can't work 24/7, Ian. Don't get me wrong. But I will figure out a way to help people all the time.
Heshi, let me ask you this. What do you say to the following statement? It's an opinion. It's a statement. What do you say to the following? The COVID-19 virus has been used in the United States. Let's just talk about the United States. Talk more particularly about New York. Has been used to implement a socialistic regime. What are your comments on something like that?
Well, I've been saying that from day one. People get angry at me. You know, I can't prove conspiracy, because it doesn't make sense that a whole world is conspiring to torture its people. It doesn't make sense that they want to wipe out the population and start again. It doesn't make sense. Maybe it's happening. I am only a regular person from Brooklyn. I'm pretty educated. I've read many books. I understand Gates and all the and Fauci, who I hate so badly. You don't even understand. I never wore masks. I took 8 COVID tests. Trust me, I volunteered in the hospital. And yes, I took the vaccine. I'm a traitor. You know why I took the vaccine? Because it's nothing. And I believe we should take it to make the government, to show them that the government is lying, that they're still using us and trying to make us, like you said, socialists, like AOC. She got rid of Amazon. She wants the green all over the world. She doesn't care about the city. She just cares about controlling the people. So, yeah, I believe they use the COVID for their benefit, just like my city has legislation that they keep pushing 30, 40 new laws on us, forcing different 312 government agencies to just punish us, fine us, if we misbehave, to even rat on one another. You should see what we're doing in the city. It's like a terrible thing, from cameras following us. If, you know, I had a police officer telling me, I don't need a warrant to come into your place. I said, what? I said, try. I said, don't even think that you walk into a building without a warrant that I will not fight back. I can understand standing on the street, you want to arrest me. But if you're going to walk into my building or my wedding hall without a warrant, be prepared that you are trespassing and you are a criminal, and make sure you're dealing with a shisha. She called the chief and they ran away. My point is, you are right. You want me to tell you there's a conspiracy? I know they used COVID incorrectly. Is there COVID? There is a sickness out there. There is a flu. I take my flu shot every year, my single shot. I take my TB shot because I'm a volunteer. Yes, we had a bad case of pneumonia. I have a family member that got pneumonia. And you know what? COVID is bad, and they didn't know how to deal with it. But no, it's they abused the privileges. They did not know how to cure it. We had so many different cures, so many different people. Instead, vaccine, money, money, money. Everything's about money, Ian. Let's face the fact. I don't know who's behind it. I don't know what you want me to tell you. Too many people to be involved to make this conspiracy happen. I just believe that each one of us, you, me, have to do good, have to care about one another, and we are free. This country says we, the people, not the government. So I will always remember that, and I will remember how proud my father was to be an American, how proud he was of me being first-generation American. And I'm going to stand and hope that people follow me. Not follow me, I'm sorry. Allow me to guide them to do good. But it's up to them to do whatever they want.
Heshi, I commend you for doing what you're doing. I just joined an investigative journalist, his show, a couple days ago. His name is George Webb. And I brought on a Canadian lawyer that's out of Ottawa, Michael Swinwood. He's suing the World Health Organization. As we know, the World Health Organization essentially controls the CDC, and you expressed your view on Anthony Fauci that seems to be involved in a lot of very iffy money type pharmaceutical type corporate issues that are surfacing, and people like yourself, thank goodness you are doing what you're doing, Heshi, are taking a stand and doing what you're doing. And this alarms me that a police officer would have that conversation with you, thinking that they could enter your residence or your establishment, whatever it may have been, without a warrant. It sounds like it's going a little way too far in New York. Once elected, Heshi, once elected to the city council position that you aim for at the moment, what's the first thing that you're going to do to change and make your city better?
Hello? Hello?
Yes, Heshi, I'm here. Can you hear
me? Hello. Oh, so yeah. So, you know, the other week, you know, each one of our stupid agencies have their own police. The parks have their police. The sanitation have a police. I mean, the parks department have police with guns. And they went into one of our restaurants at 8 o'clock at night that was closing down. And the owner left, and he left a young girl there to close up. Do you know that they asked her for her ID, even though she provided all the documents? She said, I'm not giving you my ID. They wanted to arrest her. Sanitation police. I made a video of it. It went viral. And do you know that I had to go there screaming and threatening them? I said, come get me. I said, just try to arrest me. At the end, the guy said to, in my video, he tells all my watchers, my listeners, there are thousands of people who follow me. He said, if he fights half as much for you guys when he fights us, vote for him. I took it. I made it into a funny video. You know, first thing I'm going into office is I'm going to find a way to get 26 out of the 51 councilmen. I'm not running for the Assembly or the Senate, the city. This is where I'm going to start. This is where I'm going to stay. I'm 57. I have 8 good years. I know I can fix a lot of things that this mayor destroyed, took away from landlords, people going broke and bankrupt. First thing is I'm taking away all executive powers. I'm going to find a way to create a coalition of 26 councilmen and women. Good. I'm trying to make peace with them now, make friends with them before they're getting elected. There are 35 new ones coming in. Create a coalition to never allow the mayor ever to have executive powers again, only the city council, and never to be to allow us to put people in jeopardy or lock them up or I don't even know what to tell you. Basically, we were all in jail. And that is number one. Then, of course, I'm not going to go for big legislation. I'm going to tell the people, stop it. Every week, every month, 30, 40 pieces of laws. And you know how thick those laws are, Ian? They're like 40, 50, 100 pages. Do you believe that these guys are reading 30 books, 100 pages? Half of them can't even read. They read a little blurb and one votes for one guy, the other guy votes for the other guy. And only the supreme leader of the city council could actually bring a law into effect. So if you try to even pass a bill without kissing his behind, you're dead. That has to change. I'm going to try to become the leader of the city council. I'm going to try to beg for that position, even though I'm only a junior councilman once I get elected. But first thing I want to do is that, and then I want to stop legislation completely. Let's take a break, guys. Let's go over and review what we have. Let's get money for our schools. Let's try to fix up the public schools and let more charter schools. I'm for school choice. I want special needs kids we have the best special needs programs in the whole country, and most of these kids are lost in the last year. I want to get postpartum depression for women that have had children that are lost, especially the people with mental illness. Homeless issue, and most importantly, I know you're not going to like this, Ian. I know your listeners are not going to like this. I'm sorry, Ian. I hate drugs. I hate it. I've seen 104 suicides last year, 26 this year. I can't take children doing marijuana. I'm never going to allow that to pass. I know they legalized it. I'm going to find a way to destroy this. I hate marijuana. I hate the drugs. I've had kids that die on me, kill themselves. I can't take it. And I'm going to stop it. That is going to be my number one goal. Create more youth centers, more after-school programs, and drug centers. I need to stop this. The war on drugs since the 1980s has gotten worse. I know everybody says, legalize it, it'll stop. Ian, I can't. You want me to cry with you on your phone right now? I will. Because I'm sad when I see how many funerals I've gone to. And not just for adults, but for kids. And yeah, women in their 20s and 30s who've gone through depression, who've committed suicide. I'm tired. I'm a community activist. People invite me to come speak a lot, and it kills me when we waste a life when we could save. And I've saved so many, but not really. I haven't even touched the surface. I know I could do more. I know I could do more. And my beautiful wife, Linda, of 31 years, lets me do it. And I'm so proud of her for standing beside me, because no other woman, I believe, would have let me do what I do.
Well, thank you for Linda. Thank you to her for supporting you. You're doing great work. Has she really commend you again? Look, I think you head on the hail there. Take these executive orders away from the mayor and give them back to the city council. That's a great first step to clean this up. And some of these policies that you're changing on your community level need to reverberate throughout the country. I was able to, fortunate enough a week ago, able to exchange some words with General Flynn, and essentially what he told me, the greatest threat to America right now is the dismantling of the American family. That nucleus is under attack, and when we lose that, we lose the country. And so some of these principles that you're standing on in New York are so incredibly important. So I wish you well for that. I want to take a few minutes as we wind down here.
I just want to tell you one thing. When you brought up that thing about the family, they want to rip apart our police force. Did you ever hear of defunding the police? I mean, now I hear dismantling police. No, I mean, some of the progressive leftists are lost. You can't do stupidity. And I know that people don't want it, but these people in power think they can. And Heshi Tishler, I don't know how, but I'm going to stand there. I've always been able to solve problems, and I'm going to stop it with my last breath, with my last living cell. They're going to have to go through me. And they've tried. And so far, they've succeeded sometimes, but I'm going to be there, Ian, on the front line, spread the word. And I know America, how great it is. The people do stand up. All they need is somebody to say, hey, man, it's possible. And when it's possible, and America has done the impossible many times, we're going to stand together. Sure. We'll make change, and not for the progressive left, but we're going to be right in the middle, conservative and the right people. And the people, I'm hoping everybody does the right thing. I'm sorry, Ian, I interrupted you.
No, it's quite a fun. Heshi Tishler, ladies and gentlemen, he's a conservative Jewish fellow from Brooklyn, New York. And Heshi, take a moment.
Kid. American.
Take a moment, Heshy. Take a moment, please, and give listeners some closing comments. Something. What would you like listeners to take away right now? Spend a moment and give some closing comments, some closing remarks.
Ian, first of all, my I want to pitch my website. It's HeshyTischler.com, HeshyTischler.com. I'm going to get elected. I know I'm going to win it. I want it badly enough, and I want it. I want you guys to contribute if you can, $10, $20, $30, $50. I want to win this. I want to win it big, and I want no doubt that I belong in that city council, and we do need money for it. So go to my website. Get me in there. You want some closing comments, Ian? Here's my simple strategy. We improve the quality of life for our friends and neighbors. And people think, like I told you in the beginning of the show, you have to do something big. You got to cut a lock. You got to fight a police officer. You got to run for office. No, no. Simple. Go out and do some good. Go buy a neighbor a bottle of milk when they need it. Go watch you. Go visit the hospital once a week, twice a week, every morning if you want. Go do something to help make our place better. Go bring pizza to the police officers once a month. I do that. Go to your firemen. Show love. Show compassion. If everybody keeps doing it, as a little kid, I saw a movie, Pay It Forward. This is how you do it. We help one another. We stand behind one another. When we're on the trains or we're on someplace else and we see somebody getting abused, I'm not asking you to stand there and fight with them, but let's get the crowd together to stop the hate, to stop the viciousness. I'm not asking you not to fight with a friend or with a wife that happens. We've got to do good. And the only thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to watch. And my job is not only to watch, is to make people help and work together. That's what I'm going to do. When I'm a city council, I'm going to work with the city council. I'm going to make everybody work together. I'm hoping my word spreads further out. I'm hoping it spreads through the state. I'm hoping it spreads through the country. I know it's been doing in a lot of little communities. And I know that when I get to city council, if I can show New York, which is not a little town, a big town, that we can do it here. I know I'm a little fish in a big town, but I'm sure going to try to step it up. I don't need to be mayor. I don't need to be governor. Here's where I'm going to be. This is my plan, and I want to make a change, and I want all of you to follow along with me, my friends. Follow along. Guide your family. Guide your children. Do good, and don't let the bullies win, because when they do, what they do is they keep going. Everybody says the big guys fall, whatever. I forgot what it is. The harder they fall. Not true. They keep bullying. They keep pushing. They keep taking. It's time to stop them. I'm not asking for a great life. I'm asking to have a fair life, to give me the opportunity to get my picket fence, to give me the opportunity to feed my family, to be able to go home at the end of the week and sit with my wife on the couch, that she should be proud of me in some matter. So, you know, you think I wasn't embarrassed that I was being arrested in front of my wife and kids, and I sat there and my wife was in a little ashamed of me. She said, "Heshy, again, you keep fighting the city and they keep coming after you." I said, "Linda, what do you want me to do? Sit there quietly while they beat and hurt other people?" No, and my closing comment is to you is simple. Go out, think of how the little things add up again. The little things add up big time. And come support me, because I will try my best. That's the best I can tell you, to do good and to help my fellow man, whether you're Jew, Asian, Black, whatever it is, I'm here for you. And call me. HeshyTischler.com, if I could pitch that again, would be great.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm going to give you $10 right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Heshy Tischler. Heshy, good luck. Keep up the good fight, and I look forward to bringing you back on the program.
And Ian, if you ever come into New York, pop over to the house. The door is open. Just come up for a meal or whatever. The refrigerator is open. Find something.
Heshy Tischler, folks, and this guy is amazing. Wow. That's the all-American spirit right there. That's that is, you know, the Heartbeat America, what is it, in Detroit, it's in Indiana, Nebraska, Oklahoma, where's the Heartbeat America? Well, the Heartbeat America, from what I've just been exposed to right now, is in Brooklyn, New York. Heshy Tischler's got all his ducks in a row. He's got it right. He just invited me over to a meal. Sounds like he would do the same to you. Doesn't even know you. I don't know you. And that's the American spirit right there, folks. That is the American spirit. We have a veil of what seems to be darkness currently folding over this country, wrapping itself around the world. This is a time for you to shine, America. This is the time for you to shine your light bright and let your voice and your beacon be seen and heard. And I'll be right back here with Max Eigen from Brisbane, Australia. Be closing out the 3-hour discussion of truth here. And until then, folks, be awesome. To seek and destroy. This is Ian Trouch here for Discussion of Truth, third installment of the day. We started with Alana Erickson out of Utah. She said it on the program, socialism infiltrating the Utah government. She's fighting up against that. Then we see it again here in the second edition of the day with Heshi Tischler, a Jewish conservative American that is standing up against the tyrannic lockdowns in his city. From the streets of Brooklyn, he carries a very heavy fist. He even said on the show he's about 300 pounds, so he's a very large man. He's running for city council, New York City. And now, moments away from Max Eigen out of Brisbane, Australia. This will be a very compelling discussion because Max again brings a worldly view to this pandemic. Right. Pandemic. Here we are, a pandemic. And I started my program in 2017, officially January, with Wynwood Radio due to an epidemic locally called the Zika virus. So let's get Max's view on what's happening here globally. IanTrottier.com, TROTTIER. If you're listening to that, you likely know how to spell the name. Make a donation. But most importantly, just share. Share the episode. Share this with a family member, with a friend. Share it with a politician, because, folks, only we can retain our constitutional rights, and that's what we're doing. So let's bring on Max from Australia, and finally, you know, seek and destroy, because that's what we do on Discussion of Truth. We seek out to destroy corruption, and that's corruption on all levels, wherever it may surface. Corruption on absolutely all levels. So,
Ian,
Max, nice to connect with you. Good morning. Good Tuesday morning to you, sir.
Would you like my camera on?
It's up to you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me whatsoever. Max. Look, I am grateful for you to joining the program. I have just recently been made aware of the work that you're doing, and I commend you. For listeners that are not familiar with who you are, take a moment, Max, and please give an introduction as to who you are and what you do.
Well, I'm an ex-musician, I'm an author and a public speaker. I've been running the crowhouse.com for probably the last 14 or 15 years. I've been out speaking as an activist probably for the last 13 or 14 years, trying to prevent the situation that we're in now.
But, yeah, I mean, I've just been pretty active. I mean, it gets to a point in life where you see the writing on the wall and you realize that if you have certain information, you have a responsibility to share it. So that's what I've been doing, trying to work for a better future than what we're facing now. But and I think a lot of people are waking up at the moment. So, yeah, all is not lost. But just been out there on the front line trying to make a difference, brother, like so many other people.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I believe you are... I've been doing this program now coming up on 5 years. I started in 2016, more or less, from a research angle due to the Zika virus in Miami. And I agree with you. This global pandemic now has got a lot of people questioning various narratives, questioning financial incentives through politicians and corporations and what's happening on that angle. I believe you are the first person that has joined my program from Australia. I've had a few from England, Sweden, other parts, but you are the first from Australia. Max, give us your perspective as to what is happening. You've been an activist now for a long time, many years. And you said what you've been trying to do is prevent, in a sense, what is now happening on a global scale. What's happening there in Australia? What's it like?
Well, it's the same as what's happening everywhere, brother. Just this fraudulent pandemic, which is a quantifiable, provable fraud. There is no pandemic. And the loss of rights, the lockdowns, the destruction of small businesses, the flooding of the economy with stimulus packages. I mean, everything that's happening in all of the Five Eyes countries, mainly. I mean, it's happening right around the world, but mainly to a larger degree in all of the Five Eyes countries, which is the United States, Canada, England, New Zealand, and Australia. And I mean, it's a quantifiable fraud. This is a basically an introduction of you'd call it communism, but it's kind of even past communism. It's totalitarianism on every scale happening right around the world under the guise of a pandemic, but keeping us safe from a pandemic. It's depopulation, and it's the control of everybody who's left, their great reset that they want to usher in, and the restructuring of the financial system, the restructuring of everything. And it's happening on a world scale. So it's the same here as anywhere. They've got to use different strategies in different countries because you've got different culture in different countries and different people are going to accept different things. So there's slightly different ways of doing it. But, you know, and what they can get away with, they'll get away with. There's been certain states here in Australia that have been far more draconian than other states, such as Victoria, which has probably led the world in draconian legislation, now being closely followed by Canada and closely followed by Ireland, and even certain rules that they want to bring in the UK. So they try these things in different places and see what works, and then they usher it in right around the world. But it should be obvious to everybody, but this is a worldwide coordinated event. They're using this fear of viruses to take away all of our liberties and restructure the world into their complete slavery system they want to introduce. And the target in through the whole thing, I mean, they want to kill off a lot of the older generations. The target is the children and the masking of children, bringing them up through this dystopia that they're creating. And the kids that are going to school now wearing these masks, I mean, these kids are going to be permanently damaged. They're going to have no real concept of what it means to be human. They're not reading the micro expressions on people's faces. They're not learning the way children normally learn. They're being molded into what the system wants them to be. And it's absolutely insidious what's going on here. Of course, the goal is to get everybody injected with this substance they want to put into people. And they're fully expecting a lot of people to die. But the ones that don't die, the ones that survive, will be changed. And they'll be changed permanently. And that's really what they're after. You know, we look at the good Georgia Guidestones, they only want 500 million people on Earth, so they're quite prepared to kill 90% of the world with these injections. As long as they've got their 500 million at the end, that's what they want.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the youth. I was recently going through the Houston airport, and I was the only one walking through the airport without a mask on, and I came across parents pushing a stroller. There was a young infant, maybe 8 months, maybe 12, I'm not sure. The child, of course, is not masked, but the two parents are masked, and immediately that baby, that infant, made eye contact with me. It didn't look around to any others. It was simply searching. It made eye contact with me, and there's no doubt it sought a type of communication from me that it was unable to get from others because I was unmasked. And you've hit on a really important part, that the target is this new generation that's coming in. What is, and how long, Max, have you known about this type of global control being planned? Again, this is where we get into some murky waters, because now it fringes on theory and not necessarily. We can talk about some financial incentives that have been in works and have been moving for some decades now. We can discuss that, but as far as a global one world control, which definitely seems that is happening right now. How long have you seen this type of thing developing and coming?
Oh, my whole life. I got kicked out of four different high schools when I was a kid. Like, when I was 17 years old, I used to tell people, everything the government is doing is about control. Every single law they bring in, every new guideline they bring in, everything they do is to curtail your ability to do things you would normally do. And this is happening in every country around the world. And if everything goes to its logical conclusion, we'll be living in a dystopia like 1984 or Brave New World within the next 30 to 40 years. This is what I was saying when I was at high school. And I've met people, like, in the last 5 years who I knew at high school, who've come up to me and said, oh my God, I'm nuts. This is the world that we're in now. How did you know? And I said, well, it's obvious. All you've got to do is look at what the government does under the guise of bringing you safety and security. And all it is to remove you of more and more of your liberties, control everything you do. They want to know everything you spend your money on, everywhere you go, everybody you talk to, everything. Even the promotion of tattoos and things. They want everyone to get tattoos because they want you to have these body decals that cannot, you can always be identified. If you ever get arrested, one of the first things they ask you for is, what tattoos have you got? And they're surprised when you don't have any. Because you can't get these things removed. You can change your face, you can have plastic surgery, you can do whatever you want to change your appearance, but if you've got tattoos, you can't change them. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of things, and I've seen this ever since I was a kid. When I was 4 years old and I found out we had to buy land, I was horrified at the concept that you had to actually pay to be alive, and you had to actually buy a land that people thought they could own the earth, and that you had to actually pay to have a roof over your head. I was horrified at that when I was four. And I started researching the pyramids and things when I was eight. And then by the time I got to high school, I realized that this is just a people farm. We're living in a people farm, and we're moving towards a complete conclusion. We're moving towards an obvious conclusion if things don't change. If people just continue to comply with what these governments want them to do, we're moving towards this dystopia, and we're going to be in it, like I said, within 30 to 40 years. That was when I was 17 years old. I'm 63 now. So it's pretty on the money with the time, and you can see it. I mean, it's obvious that this is where we're going. And when the Christchurch shooting happened in 2009, I said to people, this is a different shooting to all the other mass shootings. This is a shooting that they're going to use to usher in mass censorship. They're going to shut us all down. And if we don't, there's so much revealed in the Christchurch shooting that they're going to be running scared up down the entire New Zealand government and the world media for their lying, because it's all there on the video. It's all obvious, which is why they banned it and give people a 30-year jail term if they watch it. I said, if we don't grab this opportunity that this video has provided for us and expose the government for what it is, I expect us to be in lockdown within 12 to 18 months. And that was in March 2019. So, you know, it's all pretty predictable what they do. I mean, you don't know the method that they're going to use. I didn't see this pandemic coming the way. I mean, I should have. When you think about some of the martial law stuff they've put in and all the promotion of virology and all the movies like Contagion and all this sort of shit. I mean, you know they've got a plan. It's what they're going to use to implement that plan. But I've said to people, there's a train coming. And if all you people out there in the so-called truth movement don't stop arguing over your belief systems, because even the term the truth movement, this is a setup. This is it's a loaded term, because the truth is no one knows what the truth is. That's the truth. And what this is about is establishing the freedom to find out what the truth is. But people get their ideas. There's so many different theories about things. They'll get something that appeals to them and they'll go, this is my truth. And then they'll argue with it. And, you know, you and I will have a talk, but we disagree. We agree on everything except one little detail. And then suddenly we start calling each other a shill. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is what the truth movement has become. And that's why they use the term the truth movement, when it should be the freedom movement. It should be the resistance. That's what this is. So you can see how it was all being set up to keep us infighting and then suddenly pull the plug. And I said to people, if you guys in the truth movement don't stop arguing about the shape of the tracks and realize that there is a train coming, you know, there's a train coming. And if you guys don't stop arguing about the shape of the tracks, this train is going to hit you. There will be no warning. It will be sudden. And when it happens, you'll have no one to blame but yourselves. And that train hit us at the beginning of last year. And now we're in this situation. But, you know, it's waking a lot of people up. And people are realizing that they can push back. I mean, what this is all about now is the destruction of the middle class and moving destroying all small businesses, destroying the economy, moving us towards a universal basic income. What they say is by 2025, you will own nothing and you'll be happy. This is what they want, you know, total control of everybody, all set out by the World Economic Forum, all outlined in the Rockefeller lockstep document in 2010. I mean, it's all there. They've told us what they're doing, so it's no surprise that this is where we are.
So you brought up some great points, Max, and you certainly were ahead of the curve there with some great intuition at the age of four. What is certainly the Rockefeller Foundation, and that is a kind of a buzz name that resides with me, resonates with me, because in 2016, as I am in South Beach and I begin to research kind of this local argument against the pesticide being used, it was, lo and behold, the Rockefeller Foundation that popped up on my screen as owning a patent on the Zika virus. I'm not sure exactly what the patent is, but it's perhaps the extraction process from the monkey brain, 1940s Uganda. And then what happened, Max, was that I start researching the pesticide that the governor of Puerto Rico had rejected from the World Health Organization because there was a known neurotoxin out of Sweden. The UN had banned it. And I'm saying, oh, well, the Rockefellers also are the largest shareholders of Chevron Chemical Corporation that produced that. So that's the road that I went down, and it led me to a Stanford Hoover fellow named Anthony Sutton. And so the Rockefeller Foundation, you're talking about lockstep and that sort of thing, and you're bringing up World Economic Forum. It's you use the word they, and it's easy to use that word they. Can you define who they are for listeners to help them understand who really is behind this global financial system? And with that said, Max, can you expand on what your opinion is when somebody like Donald Trump, who no longer is in power, if you will, says or refers to COVID-19 as the China virus? Is China behind the release of the COVID-19 in your view? So kind of two questions in that. Start with explaining for listeners who they are.
Who they are is a good question. I mean, we see a lot of front people. We see people like Bill Gates, like Charles Schwab, like Dr. Fauci, Elon Musk even. I mean, these are all front people. These are just front people to give you the concept of this is where the world's going and to present this type of technology to you. I mean, I don't believe our history is correct. I don't believe anything that we're told. I don't believe any of the technology we're using is new technology. I think they've done all of this before. I don't. Even when you look at the deep underground bases you've got in the United States, I think these bases were not built by our culture. They were not built. If you look at the timeline you're given for the Industrial Revolution, say, you know, 200 years ago, we suddenly developed all this technology. We're able to build things. Do people seriously think they went and built those deep underground bases in the last 200 years with that technology, or were they already there? Have they done this time and time again? And then in the 50s, they tell us that they've just invented the television so we can see the exponential curve of the development of technologies to the point that we've got cell phones and stuff. Now, you look at the exponential curve in the development of technology. I mean, has it really gone that quickly? These really smart people invented these really smart things so incredibly quickly. We've got this stuff now that 50 years ago was something out of Flash Gordon. You know, something out of sci-fi movies, and it's just our normal life now. Are we really expected to believe that we, just the smart people, were able to develop this really quickly? No, they weren't. Yeah, and we're given all these factors to point the finger at. Okay, it's the Jews, it's the Jesuits, it's the Freemasons, it's all of these people. They're all combined. There's a secret cabal going on there. I mean, I look at the world. You've got to get it out of your mind, the concept that there are. There are nations and countries and governments going to war with each other and all this sort of stuff. It's all a front. It's all a facade. What we've got here is a multi-generational, multinational criminal cabal masquerading as a system of international governments and nations, and they all work together. Each one is running a people farm. You've got your little farm there. Of your flock and your stock, and they've locked all the borders, and now they're doing a stock take of all their flock, and they're culling the flock and they're culling the herd, but they all work together. You notice when there's a war, like World War II, England and Germany go to war with each other. What do? They bomb the shit out of all their countries. They didn't bomb the government buildings. They didn't go and bomb the Reichstag. Didn't go and bomb number 10 Downing Street. Didn't bomb the palace. They went to war with Syria. What did they bomb? They bombed all of Syria, but they didn't go and bomb Assad's palace. They never do that. They never actually, the two governments declare war with each other. They never bomb any of the government buildings. Why is that? Why do they just decimate all the population, destroy all the infrastructure, destroy all the ancient history? What they've done in Syria is completely wipe out all of the ancient history, all of the ancient culture. The culture that existed, that was a worldwide culture that existed on this earth up until about 200 years ago. There was a nation that existed in Europe, huge, huge nation, which took up most of Europe. Parts of America were involved, parts of Australia were involved. It was called Tartaria. And that was a worldwide culture. It's expunged from all of our history books. No one's ever even heard of Tartaria, and yet it's on all the old maps. And when you look at the color coding of the maps, you see that it's the whole world was different. It was a different world. We had free energy devices. We had a whole completely different technology that we were using as recently as 200 years ago. So getting to the question of who they are, it's very, very difficult to identify these people. I mean, I even suspect that there's land we don't know about where there's a race of people living. I mean, all that would be taken off the maps. How would you ever know? Take it off the maps and control the flight routes. How would you know if there wasn't more land? Look at the old maps. They say that there's land at the North Pole that we're not told about. I mean, all of these things are possibilities. That's why I say the problem with the truth movement is people arguing over their belief systems. I have certain opinions, and I have certain things that I suggest might be possible of who they are, but I can't actually prove it. And as soon as I make the claim that I know who they are, then he puts it up for argument, and then we get lost in that little rabbit hole and we start debating these points, and I'm stuck trying to prove this point of who they are, when really who they are is us, because we are the ones who comply with our own slavery, and that is the only way to find out who is behind the curtain, is to stop complying with your own slavery. Non-compliance, a sentiment of unity amongst the human people, so we can all stand together and simply help each other out and stop complying with what governments say. We do that, and we'll find out who they are very, very quickly, because they'll be the ones screaming the loudest. You know, but that's the problem, is that you get locked into these things. Well, I think it's the Jesuits. Well, I think it's the Jews. Well, I think it's the Freemasons. And really, they're all involved. All of these different factions. There's so many different secret societies. Club of Rome, you know, like the Bilderbergs, you know, Skull and Bone Society. There's so many people involved that are all factions of the one organization, and they create all these separate factions so that we'll argue about it. Oh, it's these guys. Oh, it's those guys. Oh, it's these guys. That's why they do it. It's a perfect setup. So yeah, who they are, I'm not even willing to put my opinion out of what's going on. I mean, I often suspect that behind the whole thing is AI, artificial intelligence, that is already here and it's already running these hours. Even when you look at the World Economic Forum, you look at that mind map they've got on the World Economic Forum, the COVID response plan. Have you seen that? Have you been aware of that mind map they've got on there?
No.
There's no way. Oh, it's this mind map that it's like a big circle, and you just click on one section, and it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it goes down 132 layers. And it's a complete mind map, and there's no way this was done by people. There's no way a bunch of people sat down and worked that out. That's AI. That whole thing is AI. They've got every contingency plan for. So I would suggest that AI is already in control. And what this whole COVID thing is about is ultimately a soul harvest. They want to get our souls. They want to lead us into the mainframe. They want to offer our immortality. I even saw an article, Time Magazine, this morning where they're saying 2020 or 2045 is when humans will become immortal.
Wow.
Okay. They want you separated from your soul. They want you to think that this body is what it's all about. They can make your body immortal, but disconnect your soul from it, so that you're just stuck as a slave forever and ever in this prison that we're living in, because this world is a prison. Beautiful, we've done wonderful things with it, but it's a prison. You've got to walk between your lines, and you've got to pay to be alive with everything you do. You know, even when you look at the economic system, we created an economic system apparently to serve us, so that we could perform commerce with each other, perform trade. How has it become that humankind and mankind and life itself is the most expendable thing now within the parameters of the economic system? It's all about balancing the books. Doesn't matter who suffers as long as the books are balanced. Well, how did that work? That's not what we created an economic system for. So when you look at all this and you put it all into account, you can easily see where we're being led. You can easily see what this is all about, and it's about disconnecting us from who we are, disconnecting us from our spirituality, from our soul, and locking us into this total control grid where you are just an automaton and you do what you're told. Everything you do is tracked and traced, and you work to serve the system. That's what they want.
It's almost this robotic or machine. It could be perhaps referred to you as a transhumanism, and there's absolutely, you're exactly right. What we do know is that we're part of this planetary system, and none of us, regardless of like you're saying, regardless of what society or group, all of us as human beings, we're certainly all subjugated to another power. We can, like you're saying, and I like how you said that. We do have to kind of point the finger at ourselves. So if we choose to remain silent, if we choose to sit down, and we choose to conform, then we are the they, in the sense of we become part of a system outside of our control. You said something about. You said something about the mass die-off, and I also, Max, I want you to talk about your research behind the pyramids, because the pyramids are fascinating. And listeners, one of my early guests was a guy named David Serrata, and I heard his name mentioned. I think it was yesterday. He has investigated the pyramids, and listeners may not be aware there are pyramids that dot all the continents. My understanding is that there are pyramids in China that the Chinese government covers up. So please talk about your research on pyramids. Talk a little bit more about this die-off. You alluded to the Georgia Guidestones. Talk about this die-off that may be coming.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be the result of the vaccines. I mean, so many people are dying from the vaccines already. They're dropping like flies. Even when you look at the figures on the Vayas and other sites and look at the figures that are coming in, apparently only about 10% of cases are even reported. So the figures could be, you know, 10 times higher or even 100 times higher than what we're being told, the amount of people that are dying from these vaccines. And if you look at what the vaccine is, I mean, it doesn't even meet the legal criteria to be called a vaccine for a start, because it doesn't inoculate you or immunize you against anything. They're telling you that we don't know what's going to happen. You're still going to have to wear your mask. And a lot of people are getting the vaccine, then they're dying of COVID, and they're saying, it was a mutant African strain that killed them or whatever. No, they're dying from the vaccines. And the people, I mean, it's an mRNA vaccine for a start, which is going to permanently modify the function of your DNA, and they can do just about whatever they want with it. mRNA is like medical Play-Doh. You can just do whatever you want. mRNA is what turns a caterpillar into a butterfly. So you can do whatever you want. You could turn human beings into anything you want through the control of mRNA. But you're going to find that down the track, a lot of people's immune systems are going to be compromised. 3 to 6 months or even 5 years down the track, you'll find that pretty well everybody who has the vaccine will probably be dead within 5 years, I would say. A lot of them will be a lot earlier than that. And they'll tell you it's a mutant strain all the time, and they've never even identified the original strain. So, and even the whole concept of virology, it's a theory. The whole thing's a theory. There was a really interesting experiment done just last week by a doctor called Dr. Stefan Lanka. And if you look at how they isolate a virus, they actually get a petri dish. They put all sorts of chemicals in there. They use, you know, monkey brains and fetal tissue and all sorts of stuff. They put in a petri dish, and then they add a piece of human genome in there, and they kind of cook up this soup. You know, and they say, oh, they find this virus and say, oh, look, the virus is present in the human genome. They create this incredibly toxic environment to put this genome into. And then when nasty stuff appears, they say, oh, look, it's a virus in the genome. Well, this guy, Stefan Lanka, he ran the experiment and he did everything properly, and he never added any human genome, and he got exactly the same result. So it completely disproved virology, basically, and this was an experiment done a week ago. So nothing they're telling us is true. All they're trying to do is get this injection into people to get this depopulation agenda happening. And they've got to provide the excuse for people to believe it, which will be, oh, it's mutant strains of the virus. So, you know, it's a scam. The whole thing's a scam. Hang on a minute. Hey, Bree! Dog barking.
Yeah.
don't know whether you can hear that.
Yeah, but, it's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, So
the whole thing is a scam. Hang on, she's putting me off. Bree, stop barking. Yeah, losing my train of thought. But
if you could, yeah. Anyway. So you brought him a great example there with Dr. Locker. It sounds like it was the name. What I wanted you to get into is these pyramids. What have you researched on pyramids? I personally find that quite fascinating.
Well, yeah, there are pyramids all around the world. I mean, when you look at the concept of Tartaria, the concept that there was an ancient culture here that we don't know about. And there were pyramids all around. Well, some of the biggest pyramids in the world are actually in China, a lot bigger than the pyramids in Giza. And the Chinese government has planted, they bring in workers and they cover them up in dirt and they plant trees on them to make them look like hills. It's incredible. They don't even want them investigated, because investigation into the pyramids in China indicates that they were built by long, tall, red-headed, Caucasian-looking people. Not Chinese, and they don't really like that. It's the same when you start looking at the pyramids in Giza. There's no way they were built by Egyptians, you know. So, but the Egyptians don't like that, because hey, they say, hey, look how great we were. This was our culture. And, well, no, it wasn't. That was the culture that came before you guys. That's why you can't ever go in there and investigate the pyramids unless you do it under the auspices of the Egyptologists. You know, you've got to go in there and you've got to deal with the head of Egyptology. You've got to go in, you've got to be supporting their line. You can't go in there and do any independent research and go in there with another theory, or even present them with another theory, because if you've got this other theory, they won't let you go into the pyramid compound to research it or to look at anything. They want to know that you're supporting the official narrative of the pyramids. And that's what they're all about. I mean, I don't particularly trust the pyramids in Giza. There's a lot of talk of these wonderful devices that do these wonderful things. If you ever been to Cairo, you go to Cairo, it's crazy. The whole place is crazy. And there's these pyramids there in the center of town. Like the Great Pyramid is right there, right on the outskirts of Cairo. You can see it from the center of town. It's not out in the desert. Giza is a suburb of Cairo. And it's kept open. And there's no houses there around the pyramids or anything. And it looks like it's in the desert, but it's not. It's right on the edge of Cairo. You can see them very clearly as you're driving around around the town. And they create this energy that just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. And Cairo is a particularly interesting place. Cairo, it gives the impression of a town that is in a state of permanent growth and permanent decay at the same time. And it's crazy. It's a crazy town, the crazy people. Everybody is discombobulated. Everybody's just... It's a really, really strange place. You'd have to sort of go there to feel it. But when I got there, I couldn't wait to leave Cairo. I wanted to go to other places. I just couldn't wait to get out of the energy that these pyramids were generating in the town. And when I look at human beings and what our natural science would be and what our natural relationship with the earth would be, I see all these geometric shapes as being something completely alien to what we are. And I don't think they actually performed any purpose that was good. I think they're all more about control. I mean, that might be a strange thing for people to deal with. There's a lot of people out there in the New Age movement who think pyramids are these wonderful, magical things. And yeah, they have incredible properties. But I don't think, left to our own devices, we would ever come up with something like that or need something like that. So I don't have anything good to say about pyramids personally. I think they interfere with the natural flow of things. And they're there for a purpose, but what that purpose is anybody's guess.
Now, this David Sereda has said that they used to, when they were built, what's happened is that over the years they've been stripped of precious metals, and that there was a conducive energy that he says that the pyramids were built to actually transport. I don't think he said human beings, but transport beings from one place to another. That was his answer as to why these were built. We're given different narratives as well. Definitely a fascinating subject to look into. What is the best foot forward for folks wherever they may be listening around the world? What is the best foot forward to stand up against this one world global unification order that seems to be rolling out? What's the best foot forward for folks to take action, in your opinion?
Non-compliance, like get together with your community, start talking to local businesses. If you own a business, talk to the other local businesses around you and all agree that you're going to open up your businesses on a certain day. You know, you can't just have one person do it. They'll get stomped on. But if the whole town does it, you know, and when politicians, news media, police, or any of these people come to your business, refuse service to them. So now you no longer serve the people. So we're no longer giving you service. We won't serve you until you begin to serve us again. Realize that, see, the whole thing is comes down to people remembering who and what they are. We're just dealing with people here. Doesn't matter if you've got a police uniform on. Doesn't matter if he's the mayor. Doesn't matter if he's sitting in some fancy office. Ultimately, he's just a human like you. And you don't actually have to do what he says. If he's a politician, then he's someone that you employ to manage infrastructure for you responsibly on your behalf. That does not include locking you down. If they're claiming they're doing it because there's a state of national emergency because of a pandemic, ask for proof of claim, because there is no pandemic. There is no national emergency. You're claiming there's an emergency here in Australia for a virus which affects, you have a 99.97% survival rate of this virus. Less than 0.01% of people will die from this alleged virus. How is that a national emergency? We had three times as many people die of tuberculosis last year. You didn't shut the country down for that. The only emergency happening in this country is the fact that the government is out of control and has shut the country down under false pretenses. That's an emergency. So people have got to realize this is what we're dealing with. This is a war here. Your government is culling your population. They're destroying small businesses. They're doing it all under the guise of protecting you. And what they're doing is they're permanently damaging your children. The target through all of this is the children. You know, if you're sending your kids to these schools and doing... This is child abuse. The whole thing is child abuse. So that's the only way out. People have got to get together and they've got to push back by not complying. We don't even need violence. I mean, they'll come at you and try with violence. So what they did in the UK last weekend, I don't know whether you saw that, there was hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people marching in the UK. Estimates are 200,000 to 500,000. Some wow. estimates I'm coming in of 1.3 million people were marching in London. And the police came to try to shut the march down, and they ended up getting surrounded by the people. A couple of them got beaten up pretty badly. The people just threw the police out of the crowd, basically. Said, no, you came here to start violence. This is a peaceful rally. You came here to start violence, so we're going to give it back to you. And they did, and the police retreated. That's what needs to happen. That's the only time you need to use violence, is to repel violence. If police or these people come to you to try to become violent with your crowd, you can use counter-violence to repel them. But stand your ground. Realize that you're just dealing with people here. Your government is actually employed by you to act responsibly. Where did you forget that? Where did that line get blurred? Where did they convince you? How did they convince you that they're your rulers and that you have to do what you're told? That's not what it's about. That's not what life is about. So we're at a pivotal point. This whole thing is a spiritual battle. And if people can realize their own spirituality and realize their own true power and realize that they're just dealing with people, then we can overcome this. We can change the world in a day. And the reason they're doing this is because they're running scared. They've got to lock everyone down because so many people are waking up. And if they get the right type of pushback, if people push back in the right way and simply refuse to comply, then they don't have a leg to stand on. There's nothing they can do to stop mass non-compliance. So that is really the way out. And like I said, refuse service to these people. Media personalities especially. The media is so complicit. The media is even more complicit than the politicians because it is the media that has sold the lie to the people. There's no journalism that exists anymore. You got people like the head of YouTube, Susan Wojcicki, was awarded an award for free speech the other day for supporting wow. free speech. How many people have been purged from YouTube? You know, all dissenting voices have been silenced. Any alternate views have been silenced. Anybody who questions the government at all on anything has been silenced. Through the Christchurch shooting and the legislation they were able to bring in to support censorship, they were able to use that legislation to censor the US president on Twitter last year, for God's sake. I mean, you know, how blatant can it get? And people are okay with it. So if you're okay with the US president being censored, no matter what your view of the US president is, this is the president of the United States. This is supposed to be, apparently, the most powerful man on earth. And yet you got Jack Dorsey from Twitter basically saying, no, I'm more powerful than you because I can silence your voice. You got Mark Zuckerberg in Facebook, who's saying the same thing. You know, you got Susan Wojcicki saying the same thing. These people are now more powerful than the president of the United States. So the media is hugely complicit in what is going on here. So if you own a business, you own a cake store or a bakery, or it doesn't matter what it is, don't serve these people. If Susan Wojcicki or Jack Dorsey or any politician or any media personality come into your store, tell them to go shop somewhere else. You don't serve us anymore, so we're not serving you. And that should be the same for every politician, every media personality, every police officer, anybody, any medical staff, anybody who is supporting this fraud. Refuse service to them and get together with your local communities and all open up your businesses together.
Incredible. That was very powerful, Max. Very powerful. What do you see as the outcome? Let's fast forward here. You've done some incredible research over your time. You're in your 60s now, and you've done some great work. Let's fast forward a year, 2 years. We've already hit on a likely mass die-off. What's down the pipeline for listeners? What should they be expecting?
Well, it's going to depend on how we react this year. This is such an important year. It's going to depend on whether we get these parasites, these ruling parasites, out of power. or whether we allow them to lead us into this dystopia. And I'm saying to people now, you know, stack up on food, stock up on food, get yourself in a safe position where you can weather the storm. Because, you know, even if we were to remove a lot of these parasites from power, so many people have taken the vaccine now. So many people are going to be getting sick in the next 3 months to 6 months to 5 years. And there's always going to be these factions that come in and say, well, look, we told you so. It's a new mutant strain, and the fear, 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 which is going to drive the people. And unfortunately, a lot of the sheeple will lead us into that reality if we're not careful. So it's really going to depend, brother. I mean, I'm ready to hole up and weather the storm if it comes to it. I'm ready to face infinity without flinching. And if it comes to the point where I can't do anything without a vaccine, well, I won't be doing anything. You know, it's as simple as that. I mean, I'm not taking your vaccine. I'm not taking your jab. I'm not complying with any of your stuff. So it's going to depend, brother. I mean, a lot of people are getting it. I mean, 1.3 million people marching in London, or even if it's 500,000, this is huge turnouts. We're seeing it right around the world. We're seeing people pushing back all over the place. So it's going to be determined by what happens this year, what the pushback is this year, whether people really grow a backbone and start calling this out for what it is, or whether they're able to lead us into this. I mean, they'll probably fake an alien invasion or whatever, a war with Ukraine, or you know, start some other rubbish around the place just to keep us on the edge and thinking that it's important when it's not, and keep us distracted so they can continue rolling out their COVID guidelines and their safe apps and all that sort of crap, you know, their contact tracing and their mass surveillance, which is what they want.
A question, and then we'll wind down, and I want to give you an opportunity to leave some closing comments and remarks for listeners. But the question here, very simply, Max, from your viewpoint in Brisbane, in Australia, as an Australian, was the 2020 American election was it rigged? Was it fraud?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it was blatant fraud. It was probably the most blatantly stolen election I've ever witnessed. Not that I trust Donald Trump. I mean, I don't. I think they probably made it that blatant just to show you what they could get away with and show you how controlled it was. I don't trust Trump. I mean, Trump supported the vaccine. Trump really pushed all this. For all of his good points and all the stuff that he's done, I think he's a player personally. Other people might not like me saying that, but I think he is. He wanted to build the wall. We said when the wall was being built, this is to keep Americans in, not to keep the Mexicans out. The Mexicans are there going, yes, please, please, finish the wall. We don't want any more Americans coming here. So it's really not what people are being told. You know, America's turning into a third world country. They're actually completely deconstructing the United States at the moment through this flooding the economy with trillions and trillions of stimulus and shutting down all the small businesses, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, counterculture, all the stuff that we saw in Mao's China when the communist takeover of China happened, all the stuff that we saw also in the Bolshevik revolution in Russia, where they had Operation Trust, you know, where the people were told that there was this secret organization there and that there were factions in the government that were working towards them. Same as Q, Trust the Plan, exactly the same operation as Operation Trust that the Bolsheviks ran. So, no, I don't trust Trump, but I, at the same time, I think the election was staged, but I think they did it so publicly and so deliberately just to show you, hey, it doesn't matter what we do. We can show you how blatantly staged it is. There is even a Time magazine article where they actually did a report on how they basically ran the fraud. They said how we saved America, basically. But they're telling you how they rigged the election. It was a Time magazine article on it, a whole section of Time magazine. So, yeah, it was a blatant fraud, blatant theft. And Biden's an incompetent, discombobulated fool with Alzheimer's or something. I mean, he's completely demented. Doesn't know what he's saying. Can't string a sentence together. There's been no State of the Union address because you can imagine Biden up there trying to speak for an hour or an hour and a half. He can't even get a sentence out without stumbling over his words. There's no way he's going to be able to get out there and make sense for an hour. He'll be nodding off all the way through it and forgetting what he's saying. And, you know, so they did it purposely, I think, just to show the people, just to put it in your face. I think everything they're doing these days is to put it in your face.
Yeah, well said. you're hitting the, as far as I'm concerned, Max, you're hitting the bullseye. We'll wind down here and... Max Eigen, ladies and gentlemen, Max, some closing comments. What would you like listeners to walk away with here?
Look, you are powerful and you can change the world, and we can do this. We've expected this coming for so long. I mean, a lot of people look at the so-called truth movement or the alternate media, and it's like listening to the spy novel version of reality. They like to hear the next installment of what the secret cabal's doing and all this sort of stuff. You know, really, you can change the world. Rather than to just listening to the information and thinking someone's going to save you, and even the people who point the fingers at everybody else, oh, it's the Jews, it's the Jesuits, it's that. Okay, we remove all them. Go and remove all the Jews, remove all the Jesuits, remove all the Freemasons, get rid of all these people, all the people you think they are. Well, now what? Now what happens to the world? Because if you're still using the smart tech, you're still leading yourself into this AI-controlled dystopia, well, really, you've only got to look in the mirror to see where the problem lies. Look at the smartphone you're holding in your hand. Look at how many life skills you've lost, and look at what you really could do to become a better human being, because that is what is going to change the world. Get back in touch with yourself. Get back in touch with your own spirituality, your own soul, because that's what all this is about, is taking that soul from you. And we're at a very, very important time. And if you can walk the path of the warrior, face infinity without flinching, and that is the knack of being able to face with serenity odds or circumstances that were not included in your calculations, and be fine with that and come out the other side still with yourself and your soul, then we'll change the world. And we've been given the opportunity to do it. So it's time to step up to the plate. If you want to have a future, now's the time to look at your own self-responsibility. Everybody wants freedom, but no one wants the responsibility that goes with what being free actually means. So now's the time to do that. And thanks for having me on, brother. We'll do it again.
Sounds good. Thank you, Max. Wow. Okay, that blew me away. That those past final moments. This fellow is a deep thinker. Again, Max Eigen. He is based in Australia. And his Crow's House, I believe, is the name of his publication online. This program has received some great, great guests, some great thinkers, some great writers. We have received on Discussions of Truth some really great human beings, and at the end of the day, the common thread through all of these individuals is, it has been, in my opinion, as host, exposing corruption, whatever level it may have been. Stephen Kinzer spoke about the corruption in in World War II, I believe it was. We were talking about Gerald Posner speaking about the corruption in pharmaceutical industries. Now, these New York Times best-selling authors here. Corruption is corruption. It needs to be exposed, period. And in listening to a fellow like Max really reinforce, regardless of where you reside. And I liked how he was not pointing fingers in any particular group, the Jews, the Jesuits, and certainly if you've heard me talk to on George Webb's program recently, I was directly pointing fingers at the Vatican, because that's, I firmly believe, is one of these main cabal centers. There's no doubt about that. But with that said. The Vatican rose to power by taking power away from or colluding with an existing power prior to the formation of the Vatican. So some of these things may be going back much further than we think they're going back. But what we can defend, what we can take away is this is, like Max said, this is a spiritual battle. This is a battle against good and evil, if you will, and frankly, this is right now the same battle that George Washington in the United States here, that Washington, Jefferson, Henry. This is the same battle these folks these men were fighting. We're fighting the same thing, and that is, let's simplify things and perhaps not try to point fingers. Let's point fingers at ourselves, as Max alludes to, but let's defend some of these rights that we're losing. let's come together and make sure that these rights do not get taken from us, because we will be the only to blame should we lose these rights. And we are losing these rights at an alarming pace. So if this message resonates with you, I do urge you to please go back and look at the guests that I've had on the program over the past 4.5 years. There are some great minds and great thinkers and great writers who have joined the program, and make a difference. Make your voice heard, and stand your ground in a nonviolent. No, violence is not good. A change can happen peacefully, and we can make that change happen peacefully. But again, it will require action. So I thank Max Eigen for joining the program, and until next week, folks, or as I am doing the program now, which today is usually Wednesdays are the go-to day, and since I have been out of studio now for a number of months, I have been recording the shows on the weekends. This happens to be a Monday, where I just did three. I just hosted three guests, just did three shows. So the pace is picking up. Folks are catching wind. They are opening their eyes, broadening their spectrum. They are receiving alternative angles, which is what this is all about. This is what this is all about. When the printing press was revealed and engineered, that exposed and submitted to the masses, transmitted to the masses, a lot of prudent and important information. So we perhaps are living another type of awakening in that sense. Only time will tell. But do stand up for what you believe in. This is Ian Trottier for Discuss Your Truth. Until next time, folks, be awesome.